Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, talking college football with Denton Day of SiriusXM here coming up in 20 minutes. Time now for a football fix. Here's Wolchuk.
All right, let's do it. Let's get our fix, boys.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Wrong side!
Left side!
Wrong side!
Left side!
I use these for acid indigestion.
So what are we going to use these for?
Intimidation.
You know I got to get my fix, man.
Oh, the big news that happened this morning. It was Mike McDaniel. After four seasons, he gets the can. All right, so here we go. Preseason, bold predictions. I was 2-2. But McDaniel did get fired. Not going to give myself credit for that because I said he'd be in-season first coach fired, but he did get fired.
He's actually the last coach fired last as it stands one. Right now.
Until Sirianni or McDermott get fired this weekend.
Man, but you are riding that train.
I like it. I think it's fun to do.
I see rumors about LaFleur in Green Bay.
LaFleur, yeah. Pro Football Talk has put out that possibly LaFleur and McDermott could be let go if they were to lose, and both those teams, the Packers and the Bills, then pursue Harbaugh. It's like everybody's in on the Harbaugh sweepstakes now. But with this
proven
move
winner
for Miami.
And losing Mike is getting everybody fired.
It sure is, isn't it? It does sound like there is a lot of momentum for the Dolphins to go and get Harbaugh. Our buddy Charles Robinson,
yep.
Nobody applies sunscreen quite like Charles, and he is an absolute savant at it.
In Oxnard, it's unbelievable.
It was really teaching tape for Eric and I.
Yeah, we got toasted out there.
And is it
sneaky
to the
sun.
Is it to the point, though, where you see residue of it?
Oh,
on
yeah,
his
it's
face?
Caked. It's caked, yeah, oh, especially really, on the nose.
He doesn't rub it in a lot.
Yeah.
But he's smart as hell for doing it, because at first I'm looking at him like, what the hell is he doing? And then the next day I realized, wow, he knew. And ever since that point on, I make sure when we go to Oxnard, we've got sunscreen. But he put out, Stephen Ross has connective tissue with the Harbaughs. Big Michigan athletics booster. His father, Jack, coached for UM in the 70s. Jim played and coached at UM. Ross pursued hiring Jim as head coach and has had known interest in John if he ever left the Ravens. He said he believes Harbaugh would like some direct juice in the next front office. It was functional with the Ravens, but I think there were frustrations at times when it came to his influence on the personnel end. Dolphins could hire a GM with Harbaugh being part of their process.
That is true.
So Jordan Schultz kind of alluded to the same thing for us.
Yeah.
Everybody, it does seem like, has somewhat of interest in Harbaugh. But the Dolphins, I don't know. Like, do they pull the trigger on McDaniel if they don't feel pretty confident like they've got a really high chance to land Harbaugh?
I think you got to get him out of the way in order to make it happen.
Because then what would be their backup plan?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's interesting with some of the GMs that they have been interviewing. You have a guy that's tied to the Packers, so their defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley, that could be a combo deal, or if LaFleur somehow gets
who'd
fired there.
For the Packers?
It's like Jeff Sullivan, something
oh,
or other.
Oh, John Eric Sullivan.
Yeah,
I used to babysit him.
Did you? Oh, really?
Yeah, I was a graduate assistant for his dad at LSU when I was like finishing up. I was trying to determine if I wanted to be a coach or a scout. And so I was like doing GA work and stuff. His dad was a wide receivers coach. Dad was an NFL wide receivers coach for a long time. But John Eric, yeah, I remember when he was a little baby, like, yeah, I'd take care of him.
He's a little baby.
Run around the office, him and Elliot Wolf, and now they're all running football teams.
But the Chargers assistant GM, Chad Alexander, he has been interviewing for the GM spot with the Dolphins, and he worked 10 years in Baltimore with John Harbaugh.
Mm.
So that could be like two guys tied at the hip right there. But like Jordan Schultz was saying with the Giants, like the Giants might just give him carte blanche. Of like, hey, John, like if you're willing to be our head coach, we'll get rid of Shane. Like, we want to keep him, but if
you know,
they could just give him that autonomy to be like, no, you can handpick your GM as well. So I'm sure the Dolphins wouldn't necessarily be the only team that would be willing to grant him that.
Well, then now Mike McDaniel, you've got Mary Kay Cabot, who covers the Browns. They're interested in McDaniel, who was fired by the Dolphins for their head coaching job. He was the wide receiver coach there under their offensive coordinator, Kyle Shanahan, back in 2014. So he's got familiarity there in Cleveland. And then two places. Washington, of course. He knows Dan Quinn. He worked under Dan Quinn in Atlanta. So he could go there as their OC, and the Detroit Lions have contacted Mike McDaniel about their offensive coordinator vacancy. So that would be fun for content purposes and audio. If you got Man Campbell and Mike McDonald on the same staff, McDaniel? Head coach and OC. Mike, did I say McDonald again?
I would do the same.
I'm just going to bleep myself. McDaniel, I'm so sorry. The McDonald's and the Mikes, this is overwhelming right now.
It's a lot.
I'd love it. I'd love it if those two could land together. I just don't want him in Washington because I do have respect for him.
He always looks cold on the sidelines, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He in those games, like, he always looks so cold. He just looks so cold.
Well, capris don't travel well to the tundra.
Well, his aesthetic does not. Smallish
guy.
Football coach. Anyway, you know, he's already kind of at a disadvantage when you just look at him.
Let me ask you this. Guy's surprised that he failed?
No, I'm not success early, but I don't think you can run from bad talent. Chief.
Our whole thing is, I jump in there too. We always are like, I'll tell you what, if you're from that McVay or Shanahan tree, you know. Are we starting it? I mean, is this the first one of the guys?
At midseason, Bob Sala kind of reinvented that offense. They won 4 of 5. I know it was against a tough schedule, but I think he was figuring out ways to make it work again. I trust his problem solving. I don't know if he's the best head coach, you know, but I trust his offensive mind.
Yeah, and ultimately, I don't think I'm surprised when any head coach fails. It's a very, very difficult thing. It's a tough needle to thread. You take the information that you have and you take that risk. And he was a guy that was a bright offensive mind, still is. I think the biggest mistake was really giving Tua the contract. Like, you've built that offense for him, but he's super limited. And he should have been willing to say, no, I can find a better quarterback here. And if you get him as the OC in Detroit or whatever, or if somehow maybe Baltimore gets him as an OC and you have Lamar Jackson to play with, that would be something special. I think as an OC, he's still very, very highly respected.
Ravens, they're going to interview Brian Flores for their head coaching job.
So there you go. Brian Flores and Mike McDaniel together on staff.
My gosh. Yep, that'd be pretty darn nice right there. I mentioned at the open of the show, Jeff Ulbrich, who could be under consideration for the Cowboys defensive coordinator, Arthur Blank, said he's going to recommend him to remain as the DC who forever they hire as the head coach. So he's going to let that head coach hire the DC, but he wants to just be like, hey, I do like this Ulbrich guy. So if you're interested, let's just go ahead and keep him on staff.
It's like Jerry doing what he did with Shoddy.
I just like this Eberflus dude. By the way, what do you think?
Jerry kind of threw Shoddy under the bus a little bit yesterday. He kind of said, hey, everybody's out there everybody's saying that I made this hire. Nah. The guy to my left here helped too.
You think he'd be here if this guy didn't approve of it? Yeah, come on. If Steven didn't approve of it, it was not just me.
I wonder if Shoddy would have just stepped up and said, Jerry, really? Yeah, really?
Wait a second. You kind of
hired that guy?
Hire him.
When did you ask me?
In fact, you hired him before you even promoted me as head coach. Yeah. So, like, what?
He had Shoddy dead to rights on that one.
Bucks are making a bunch of changes. Todd Bowles is saying bye-bye to the staff. They're firing their offensive coordinator, Josh Grizzard. Livers and Grizzards, that guy over there. Now you got Rams passing game specialist Nathan Skilhaas. He's a name to watch in this cycle. People are loving him right now. And I might have said it wrong. Could be Skilhaas. Could be Skilhaasy. Could be a lot of things.
Could be McDonald.
Could be Mike McDonald had a farm.
I hope he didn't get a job just because we can't pronounce his name.
No, he's supposedly really good, and he's under McVay. The McVay guys seem to work out, I think, sometimes a little bit more than the Shannies, but who the hell knows? Maybe it's just it's luck of the draw.
McVay was with the Shannies.
Just luck of the draw. Zach Robinson, Todd Monken, other guys that they could be looking at for the Bucs offensive coordinator job. They've had a lot of great success. The problem is they all just get head coaching jobs, unless you're the Grizzard guy.
Right.
Then you get fired. Special teams guy also gets fired there in Tampa Bay. And Robert Sala, good old Bob. He's getting an interview with Atlanta, Arizona, Tennessee, and the Baltimore Ravens.
He fits the Rooney Rule, by the way.
To be their head coach. He does. He does fit the
Rooney Rule. And he's got McDaniel ties, right? So maybe he wants McDaniel to be his OC if he gets a head job somewhere.
Could be a thing. Now, we mentioned the opening in Cleveland. Mel Kiper, what did he do over the draft? lost his bleeping mind.
Oh, the Shador stuff.
Yeah. Shador. Yeah. Well, he's still
Mel Sanders.
He's still Mel Sanders right now. As we go to ESPN First Draft, it's a show with Greenberg, Mel, and Field Yates.
Field Yates with hair now.
Well, Greeny, you brought up Shador, and here's Mel.
Shador Sanders is going to be their quarterback going forward, I guess is what I was trying to say.
It's got
to
be Greeny. I mean, what the hell has it got to do? I mean, is it going to get into this negativity again about Shador? I mean, I don't know what else the kids needs to do. I mean, Josh Allen had haters in year three. So if Josh Allen has haters in year two and three of his career, there's no way Shador can avoid it. But I've watched every play, every snap of Shador Sanders, and he should be proud of what he had to go through and survive and to come out winning that game yesterday, driving them down to get into field goal range inside of 50 yards to make that field goal and win it. After, like I said, it could have been 21-12 had Canelo caught the football. Drops hurt that team all year to be able to show more mobility than anybody thought. The accuracy's there. Everything about Shador Sanders screams he's the quarterback. But if people are going to negative in April, they're going to be negative now because they're going to look, where is he ranked? Forget that. Look at the interceptions that were off of Jerry Jeudy, off of Judkins' shoulder. Batted balls like Burrow had one yesterday, batted in a pick six. You're blaming Burrow for that? No. You're blaming Shador for a couple batted balls that were picked off? You shouldn't, okay? So you're going to be fair here. So really, when you look at what Shador did this year, not having any training camp, never with the ones, defense, offense, be thrown out there, playing in brutal weather conditions, not in domes. Brutal weather conditions. If you're going to sit there and tell me you weren't impressed with the rookie year of Shador Sanders, I would say you weren't watching the same game I was.
So I don't think Field Yates agreed with Mel there as his initial reaction. Oh, come on. Well, Mel, here we go. Cleveland fans, this is what they want. And I really would love this to happen too.
Oh, don't say it.
I just want to see what it would be like. DraftKings, Pauly Market. How about Maggie from Maggie and Perloff? She's out there with this too. Let's go ahead and get Deion Sanders as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Let's do it. Let's go father and son this thing up. Let's take the Buffs and let's just recreate it with Colorado. Now, and then you just got to trade for Travis Hunter. But it'd be Deion and Shador in Cleveland. They can do it.
Worth
they
a
can
shot.
Make it happen. Why not?
Yeah. Go for it.
Let's do it.
I mean, has struggled to build a winning program at Colorado. Mm-hmm. But hey, what's to say he couldn't fail upward?
Could happen. Yeah. Cliff does it. Why not Deion? Why not Prime?
I mean, whatever they do is probably going to mess up anyway. So yeah. I would say, let's see if Deion plus Shador could kindle some kind of magic. But other than a bit, I just don't think it's not realistic at all.
It's probably not. And I don't think that they're interested. They have not put out anything that they would be going after Deion. And I wonder what the buyout would even be like. I mean, does that happen like with Colorado?
I kind of wonder. Colorado's athletic director is leaving. I think it's Rick George who hired Deion. Ooh. And so there's a new athletic director coming in.
Another wrinkle.
And I think they're in a situation, too, where they're way in the red on money.
Here we go.
Because of the things in the football department.
Get out ahead of it.
I wonder if the new athletic director would be okay with Deion getting an opportunity to go somewhere else. That way he doesn't have to, if things turn into a 4-9 situation again next year, something like that, that he doesn't have to fire Deion Sanders.
I'm about this, man. Primetime takes on Cleveland. Let's make it happen. Cam Newton, he's going to be the drum man for Carolina. They're hosting the Rams for the wild card round. First time since Cam Newton retired, he is going to be the guy for the first time in 4 years that the Panthers will have pregame doing
the pounding drum
on Saturday. I wonder what outfit he's going to wear.
Probably show off those nice legs,
The shiny legs, the Jergens, and the coconut oil.
There would be
butter.
A great hat. There's no doubt about
that. Oh, yeah, the standard. The hair through the
there
hat.
There would be a great hat.
All of that's going to be fantastic.
What a massive feather in it, too.
Yes.
Big
great hat.
Hat.
Or an eagle feather.
Keep pounding there, Cam. And the last thing here in the football fix, who made Next Gen Stats All-Pro team? Your quarterback, Drake May. Your running back.
Wrong about him.
John Robinson.
Right about him.
Jackson Smith.
I'd like some credit. Thank you very much.
Rockwell, you deserve all the credit.
Appreciate you.
Puka Nacua.
Oh, God.
George Pickens.
What are we doing?
Puka Nacua.
Trey McBride at tight end.
Liked him a little bit.
Bowles at left tackle.
Bullseye
left
hated
guard.
Him.
Creed Humphrey at center. Quinn Miners at right guard. Darnell Wright at right tackle. So shout out to George Pickens. And oh, by the way, Quinn and Williams did make it on the defense. So two Cowboys on the Next Gen Stats All-Pro team.
Quinn Miners.
That's something. By the way, Joe Tooney is the one guy who over the last like 10 years, I think it's his, like his whole career, he's whatever team he's on, they win their division. It's like New England, Kansas City. Now he goes to Chicago.
There's your right tackle.
He's like the Will Smith guard. Of NFL football.
Guard. Yeah, guard. It's just get him on the roster, man. Go get that one seed in your division.
Watching Miami just wreck Ohio State in this pass rush.
It was pretty wild.
Think Miami's going to win it?
Yeah.
All?
I hope Miami wears their all-white suits tonight,
they
too.
Are.
Are they?
Stormtroopers are
2-0.
Out.
Cocaine white.
Yeah.
2-0. 2-0 in those suits. They're about to be 3-0.
Yeah, they call them the Stormtroopers, but they're really the cocaine
Montanas.
Yeah.
The cocaine whites.
Okay, thank you, Woolchuck. Daily Football Fix is in the books.
Yes, it is.
And we're set to talk with Denton Day, host of the College Football Overtime Show on Sirius XM. We'll get his keys to tonight's game and who he thinks is going to win coming up.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Up next on the Welcome Back Nation. It's time for a college football playoff segment. We're going to chat with Denton Day of Sirius XM. He does a college football overtime over there on your satellite radio. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. And a good afternoon, Denton. How you doing here with 2 hours to go till kickoff?
Man, I'm excited. This is one of my, obviously, favorite days of the college football year. Getting a game on a Thursday is always fun, and I think this matchup is going to be a really, really fun one this evening, so I can't wait.
How do you see it going? What's Ole Miss need to do here to keep this party going?
Well, they got to do what no one else has been able to over the last month. They got to protect the quarterback. You know, Miami has done a sensational job with Mesidor and Bain and everybody else just disrupting the opposing team's game plan. They need to find a way to stop at least one of those guys. I don't think you can stop both of them. I just don't. You're going to have to live with the fact that one of them is going to be disruptive, but you're going to have to stop the other one. I don't know how they do that. You know, I've seen a bunch of articles written today about maybe the mobility of Trinidad Chambliss being the X factor in that. Good luck. They are so quick to get into the backfield. I think they're going to have their hands full all night.
And then on the other side of the ball, what do you think about Ole Miss's chances of slowing down the Miami run game?
You're going to have to sell out. I mean, they're going to have to put 8 in the box. You're basically going to have to, if you're Ole Miss, you have to dare Carson Beck to throw. And to be fair, if Carson Beck is throwing the ball a ton, you're going to be in a much more advantageous position to win. You know, if you looked at the first couple games that they played in the college football playoff, the run game has been the bread and butter for Miami. They figured out that, hey, what happened to Louisville, that's not going to happen if we don't have him throw the ball as much. What happened at SMU, it's not going to happen if we don't have him throw the ball as much. If we put him in positions where, hey, you just made, give me one or two big throws. One or two big throws. I think Shannon Dawson, the offensive coordinator at Miami, did a really good job when necessary against Ohio State, scheming his wide receivers open. You know, C.J. Daniels had a good performance. Malachi Toney wasn't, you know, crazy statistically in that one, but I thought he had a good performance against Texas A&M. Ole Miss is going to have to put 8, maybe 9 guys in the box, and they're really going to have to tackle well. This can't be a situation where in the first quarter you start, you know, arm tackling Mark Fletcher. If that's going to be the case, it's going to be a very, very long night.
Of the 4 units on the field, is the Ole Miss defense the worst?
Yes, yeah, yes, like by a pretty significant margin, I would say. And look, man, like they have this Team of Destiny vibe. I'm not sure if that's more just because of the Lane Kiffin drama and everybody is so angry at Lane that they're just really pulling for Ole Miss at this point. This is going to be the first time in the playoffs, though, that they're playing somebody they haven't seen already this year, right? You know, they saw Tulane earlier in the year. They saw Georgia earlier in the year. This is going to be the first time seeing Miami. So I think that unit definitely is going to – it's definitely the worst of all four units in the game. So their work is going to be cut out for them in that department.
Dan, that's a great point, that they had seen these teams prior to playing them. Do you think this could be the game where all the shuffling and the unknown on the coaching staff, maybe it does end up showing up for Ole Miss?
Yeah, I do. And honestly, even if the coaching staff was 100% intact, and let's just say Lane Kiffin was the knight in shining armor and the hero of Oxford, and he stayed, and they still had the same results, I don't know how much it would really matter. Like, the theme of the college football playoff to me, guys, through the first three rounds has been, if you can get after the quarterback, you're going to win. You know, there's no quarterback that's playing unbelievable. Like, we're not seeing a Burrow in 19. We're not seeing a quarterback that's moving heaven and earth to lift his team. If you can get after the quarterback, you're gonna be in a really good spot. And Ole Miss has a problem of they can't get after the quarterback very well, and they're happening to play a team that really can.
Then with Ole Miss, though, running the ball or trying to run the ball with Lacy, it seemed like in their playoff game earlier that he was kind of keeping him on schedule. And you mentioned about Miami's pass rush. How big of a role do you think he's going to have in trying to keep an Ole Miss on schedule and ahead of the sticks?
Massive. You know, massive. And he's been really, really good, right? You know, and I know it was at the Tulane game when they thought they were going to lose him because he left in the first half.
Shoulder, yeah.
And that ended up being a little bit more precautionary, but he's been massive for them. I mean, this is going to be a game where if Ole Miss really wants to win, I think it's going to come down to, you know, the first two drives. And it'd be really nice. This is obviously something that's out of their control, but it would be really nice if they start the game with the ball and they get ahead of Miami. So even if it's just a field goal, if they start the game on their opening possession and they go down and put points up, I think that would do them a whole lot of service. Just to, all right, hey, we belong here, but then you're also putting pressure immediately on Miami. But Lacy's going to be huge. If he can take what might have been for Ohio State, let's just say a 2-yard gain and take it to a 4-yard gain, then that's going to give Ole Miss a really good opportunity. He's going to be very, very important if the Rebels want to win tonight.
So I'm detecting quite a bit of optimism from you in the Canes. Are you comfortable laying that 3 in this one? Are you that confident?
Yeah. I have laid the 3. I think it really comes down to the pass rush. As soon as that number jumped, I was like, oh, I am on that one. So I did lay the 3, and I feel pretty good that it hasn't wavered too much there. So I feel comfortable with that.
It's our guy Denton Day with us here in the G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. So tomorrow's game, Indiana-Oregon. You were big on Oregon when we talked with you previously. Do you think the Ducks can upset the Hoosiers?
I think they are going to be the best opportunity to beat Indiana. If they can, I don't think anybody can. You know, Indiana, Alabama was not ready for them. I think if you've been watching Indiana all year, you probably knew Alabama does not know what they're getting into. And, you know, there is this, and Nick Saban kind of addressed this on game day, there is just this SEC inflation of the ego of, hey, we're Alabama and that's just Indiana. And at that point, you had not seen anybody who had had a bye win in round number 2. Well, I mean, Indiana is a juggernaut, fellas. They have earned every right of it. But Oregon is the one team that has, you know, they've seen them before. And I don't know that gives them an advantage necessarily, but at the very least, it lets them know, hey, we know what we're getting ourselves into here in a way that Alabama very much did not. And I think there's something about that first game they played earlier in the season where Dante Moore, it was one of the worst games he's played. And I think there's an element of that where he says, all right, not only do I just have the natural chip on my shoulder of, hey, if I win this game, I'm going to play for a national championship, but I played very, very poorly the first time. It's the only real blemish on his season so far. Let me get one back. So I think Oregon's going to be really, really ready and really prepared, but that's a lot easier said than done because while Indiana doesn't have, you know, they have obviously the Heisman Trophy winner, right? They're not like uberly, uberly talented. They're not dripping with 5 stars the way that we have seen programs in the past, but they just do everything at such a high level. It starts with Cignetti, obviously, but they do everything at such a high level. That, to me, is the game that's going to decide the national champion. I think whoever wins Indiana-Oregon is going to be hoisting the trophy.
not from an NFL perspective, but just right now in this Final Four, who's the best quarterback still standing?
I think it's Dante Moore. I like Fernando Mendoza. I think the upside of Dante Moore is a little bit higher than that of Fernando Mendoza. I think he has just a natural arm talent as well that Mendoza does not have. So I would say that is Dante Moore, and then it's Fernando Mendoza, Trinidad Chambliss, and then maybe a space or two, and Carson Beck. I love Miami, and I just really don't like Carson Beck.
How do you see how Ole Miss got here in that second half collapse from Georgia? Do you give the Rebels credit for that, or how do you analyze it?
Oh, definitely. And I think some of the plays that Chambliss made in that were – that did kind of, I think, inflate this team of destiny feel, because he was doing some things where you're like, that should not have just worked, but it did. He's really, really good when he's playing free. And there was a small part of the season, I think that first game against Georgia is kind of where it started, to where the story of, hey, this is a D2 guy that was playing well, kind of crashed a little bit because you were playing much better quality opponents. But when he's just playing loose and free, he is an exciting, exciting player to watch. He does a lot of things really well. Still has some issues accuracy-wise, but as you saw in that game against Georgia, he just has an innate gamer ability about him. So I hope we see that version of him tonight. If we do see that version of him, I do think the game will at least be close headed into the fourth quarter.
So, of course, you're crushing it, SiriusXM, talking college football, but you are my Commander's source when it comes to you hosting the pre and post. What the hell is going on right now with Dan Quinn in that situation?
This is an implosion of high levels, fellas. We did not think that this was – we knew Joe Witt was going to be gone. That the writing has been on the wall for months in regards to that. And then all of a sudden on Saturday, we found out, hey, there might be a disconnect between somebody in Cliff Kingsbury. It said the front office in that reporting from Diana Russini. We have since learned that maybe it was more Dan Quinn. I guess it depends on who your source is. But there's something that was not connecting there. And so he's now gone. And it feels like if I'm going to read the tea leaves here, Dan Quinn is a guy that's worked in a bunch of different places, and he works with Adam Peters. And Adam Peters is from San Francisco, who at one point employed Mike McDaniel, who is now recently on the job market. And Mike McDaniel has said on many different occasions that Dan Quinn basically saved his life when he was going through a hard time. So it feels like Mike McDaniel is going to be the next offensive coordinator here in D.C. I would be thrilled with that. It's funny how these things work, right? So you have the events of the past, 36 to 48 hours, and then you start reading back in like old articles from guys on the beat, and there was an excerpt from a John Keim article of ESPN where Mike McDaniel was raving about Jaden Daniels. And this was, I think, when he was still in San Francisco after Jaden had he had played that game with Brandon Ayuk where they beat Oregon and Justin Herbert. And Mike Daniel was raving about him then. So now he has an opportunity in 2026 to reunite with Adam Peters, to work under Dan Quinn, and then to potentially work with a quarterback in Jaden Daniels. And look, if he could get Tua Tagovailoa to be, for a very small point, one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL and get him paid to the extent that he did, if he could take that player and do that with him, imagine what he could do with a legitimately talented player. So I think Mike McDaniel would be a shoo-in here, and I have started a prayer circle for that to happen sooner rather than later.
Best of luck to you on that. Denton Day, host of College Football Overtime on SiriusXM. Thank you, sir. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll catch up with you soon.
Yep, fellas, appreciate it.
Cheers. There he goes. It's time now for a mixed bag here with Wolchuk.
All right, we got power rankings, Tigers 50th, and a new jackass. That's next in the name.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop, assemble, and bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. What are we? We're under 2 hours, an hour and 45 minutes to kick off there with Ole Miss and Miami tonight, college football playoff. Thanks to Denton Day for joining us there at 420. If you want a college football interview, you can go back and listen to that with YouTube, Twitch, Odyssey app, something like that. Football's finest with the Chief coming up at 5 o'clock. Here's Wolchuk in that mixed bag.
All righty, let's go ahead and cover all of what we can here. The Commanders have requested permission to speak with Cowboys tight ends coach Lunda Wells regarding their offensive coordinator opening, according to multiple sources, as Todd Archer is putting out. Wells, of course, has been a big part of game planning in his six seasons, says Todd. He was on staff with Dan Quinn, so DQ knows him very, very well, so might be a candidate there now to be the offensive coordinator. That'd be a big blow to the Cowboys staff, because I know Lunda is really loved by a multitude of different position players. That'd
yeah.
be interesting.
I mean, Ferguson always spoke super highly yeah. of him, but I can't imagine. I mean, when you're talking about Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, if they have that option.
If they have that option. And I think,
you think
that is definitely an option that's on the yeah. table there.
Yeah, I mean, unless he takes the Lions job, or does he get one of these head coaching jobs? I mean, the Browns are going to interview him. So, I mean, he's going to have probably other – I mean, I'd probably rather go to Detroit than Washington, unless he just loves Jaden Daniels, then all bets are off.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be the case right there. But Lunda Wells, certainly one to watch. Now he's going to get that interview with the Commanders. This one's also pretty interesting. Is we've got a lot of Maverick news coming out today, and we'll hit more of that coming up at 6 o'clock. But Man McMahon, Timmy, saying Kyrie not going to return before the trade deadline, might not play at all this season.
Mm-hmm.
So this
because of how poor they've been?
That could be...
Just rest him and get
a tank move.
It's a brilliant tank move. I mean, Damian Lillard's doing the same thing right now with the Trailblazers, where it's like, yeah, I could come back in 9 or 10 months from a torn Achilles, but it would be probably better for me if I took 16 to 18 months to come back from a significant knee injury, and I help you guys get a better pick so we can be good next year. That's a team player right there, Kyrie Irving. I like that.
It's a no-brainer move from a Maverick standpoint.
And it's yeah. one where... I mean,
now you eliminate the, well, what if AD and yeah. Kyrie come back type of, you know, thing that could prevent you from making a trade or doing the right long-term thing.
Right, and they added on ESPN that with the Anthony Davis trade stuff, you know, they've talked to Rich Paul and told him, yeah, we're willing to work with you on a trade that would go to a team that you like and that also would give you the contract extension that you're wanting. So financially, what would be the best place for you to go? The Mavericks, to me, it's sounding more and more likely the Mavericks are leaning towards being open to, we're just moving on by any means necessary. And we want to get the best trade package possible. But at the end of the day, once the deadline comes, AD's leaving and we're sending him somewhere. So we've got all of our eggs in that basket, and we're checking all of our we're crossing all of our T's, dotting all of our I's, and we're talking to a bunch of different teams, and Anthony Davis, we're going to probably give you what you want and send you where you want to want.
Coming up at 6 o'clock, I've done all the work, and I'll give you a deal with the Hawks that I actually wouldn't mind.
I like that.
I think I got a way to make it work.
All right, let's shift over to some baseball talk. The Red Sox, the only team in Major League Baseball that has yet to sign a big league free agent this offseason. That is wild. Now, they have been in talks for a lot of trades, but they have not added an outside free agent, and they seem to just be in a holding pattern right now, waiting for what Alex Bregman is going to decide. So you just had former Rangers pitcher Michael Lorenzen. He agreed to a deal with the Colorado Rockies yesterday. They were interested in Lorenzen. That didn't end up happening, so the Red Sox... A little weird. They are definitely not spending right now this offseason. We just got the midwinter power rankings, courtesy of ESPN. Our Texas Rangers.
21st.
Not quite 21.
22.
22? Not 22.
23.
19.
Oh, the other way.
19, baby. They were 16 at the end of last year. Huh. They're 19. Rangers' moves so far have been money-oriented, not tendering Garcia or Heim. They traded Simeon for Brandon Nimmo. They have a new manager in Skip Schumacher, and the payroll is about $50 million below where it was last year. So there might be room for a couple more impact signings. Texas needs to improve on offense. We know they were 26th in OBP, but the rotation, short on depth now. They got Evaldi, they got DeGrom, and they got Leiter. Those are the only locks. I think the rest of that rotation will end up being Jacob Latz as part of that bad boy. But that's what David Schoenfield had to write up. Rangers at 19. I think that maybe is a little bit high.
You know, maybe they start hot in April and May and change what we think they could be, but it's looking like a financial reset year where they want to make sure they stay under the luxury tax, and I wouldn't be disappointed if they end up trading everybody for prospects. You know, this team still hasn't gotten it right where you know have a farm system that can grow up and do the things for you. You know, this World Series that CY brought us was a blessing. It was incredible. It's one of your favorite sports memories, but it was kind of bought. You know, they didn't draft and develop anything.
Seager, Simeon, yeah, absolutely. You trade for Jordan Montgomery. You paid for Eovaldi.
I mean, I guess you could say Young and Carter had an impact as young guys, but since then they haven't, you know, and you know this team really won't be prepared to have that kind of dynasty run that the Astros had until they can stack up multiple good picks and, you know, developing those guys along. And they've become better at it in the pitching department. They have become better at it in the pitching department than they were under JD and for the 30 years before that.
Did you guys see this story about the A's? Get denied again.
Yes.
They can't be the Vegas Athletics and they can't be the Las Vegas Athletics as they get denied for those trademarks according to the government. So the Athletics means activities such as sports, exercises, and games that require physical skill and stamina. Therefore, the prior registration do not support applicants' claim of acquired distinctiveness, and the claim is not accepted, is what the court documents read. So I don't know what the hell they're going to end up doing. I mean, they might just end up having to change their name when they go to Vegas, or...
That's messed up. Does Oakland want to hold on to that name so when they get a team back, they can make them the Oakland A's again? Is that what we're looking at here? It seems like bad negotiating when you're getting that move ready.
Yeah.
Like, that's something we should have probably brought with us, guys.
You've got other fan outlets that are just making Las Vegas Athletic T-shirts for purchase out there, and I think they're actually making a pretty good killing right now online. But I don't know. This whole move has just been bizarre. I mean, they just broke ground, I think, on the stadium. It's just a messy, gross situation. What's going on with the A's? Winter. I mentioned this yesterday. We're gonna get the snow game. Weather alert right now. Large winter storm expected to hit near the Chicago area. Expected to be snow for Bears Packers. It's gonna feel like 9 degrees with wind gusts of
that might be too cold to snow.
Up to 39 miles per hour.
Feeling like 9 degrees. Wow. That's
See,
just
this
miserable.
Is what the league lives for. They want this. This is why they schedule these teams, like if Buffalo hosts games, New England hosts games. They make them nighttime games. They want that snow flying. They want the whole thing of the tuck game going all over again. That's what they want. So, yeah, they're gonna put these teams, you know, these cold weather teams, as late as they can, make them night games and hope they get snow. At 9 degrees, might be too cold.
Well,
to snow.
It feels like nine. That's the feel like temp.
If it's like anywhere between say 25 and 29 degrees. That's like the perfect weather to snow.
Man, 39 mile per hour winds, though.
Coldest I've ever been, and I worked in Green Bay for 5 years. The coldest I ever been was a game at Soldier Field, Cowboys-Bears.
Yeah, it looked frigid.
Yeah, it was bad.
Well, I love tuning in for it. Yeah. You know, it's a massive great. Tune in.
The aesthetic. No, that's what I'm saying. If the snow's flying, we love the game.
I just like seeing like the breath factor.
Yeah.
You see the cold air when they're all breathing before the snap.
I mean, the steam.
Which team can run the ball better? Yeah, steam off the head.
Nate Newton head. I mean, that's an all-time.
The bag of spaghetti is going to be frozen for that fan.
That'll be frozen. Yeah.
That's got to be advantage Chicago, though, right? Who has the better run game?
Run game is definitely the Bears.
Right now it's the Bears, yeah. But Packers?
But the Bears, run defense.
I thought you were going to say who has the better advantage in the cold weather. The Bears?
I don't know. We are getting the fifth Jackass movie. Johnny Knoxville has announced that it is happening.
There's
it
been
will be
four
released.
Other ones?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me?
You've got to watch those. No, I'm not.
June
you
26th.
Should, man.
Oh, they're hilarious. Yeah.
He's like 60 now.
Yeah, well, I mean, there might be nobody can. I mean, I'm sure that they
need some money.
They filmed this, maybe, so he did survive. But I think that if Johnny Knoxville were to die doing a Jackass stunt, that might be the way he wants to go out.
Could be looking at a broken wrist, broken hip. all sorts of things.
I mean, that, I don't know that there's a body part he hasn't broken.
You got to be dialing down the jackassery or getting a new group of guys.
Yeah, they might mix in some newbies.
Got
to
con some
And they
young
started
guys.
To do that in the fourth installment. They mixed in a couple of new people. But I'm pumped for this, man. I think all the Jackass movies have been awesome.
I've loved it. I've loved it.
I'm here.
Johnny Knoxville is always the guy that they have to, like, simmer down a little bit.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He's too crazy for even all of those crazy dudes. They're all looking at him like, bro, you are a psycho.
Yeah.
The bull one? That's the one where he got really, like, he did almost die.
And yeah, I think that was it. He brings that up a lot. Like, that was probably the last thing I should ever do.
What did he do?
He got destroyed and then went back in.
When it went in the ring, being like the whatever the character is.
The rodeo clown.
Yeah, the rodeo clown. The rodeo clown.
Oh, the bull got him?
Yeah, the bull got him a few times, bro.
Yeah, he was bad.
Yeah. Cameraman was like, we didn't get it. Do it again, Johnny.
He's bleeding.
The scariest one, I think, was when they were in the Serengeti or whatever, and they were in that cot that was like 12 feet up in the air between trees, and lions were underneath them.
Yes.
They had meat hanging off the cot.
Yes.
And they, like, how the lions were pulling the meat down, it shifted the cot and turned it upside down. They fell out.
Yeah.
These are wild lions.
That's insane. Now, it won't be Bam. Bam Margera will not be in this. He's kind of been kicked out of the crew, and he's not happy about it. He's got a lot of stuff going on in his life. But I'm ready for Jackass 5, man.
They have a small person involved in this?
Yeah,
Wee Man.
Wee Man, his
are always really funny, too.
Oh, he's still doing his bits.
Is this Sober Steve-O? Because I don't think Sober Steve-O's is good.
It is. He's sober. Definitely sober.
Yeah, he's definitely sober.
He is.
He's got the Rex Ryan teeth too.
Steve was always down for the fun stuff, man.
Okay, we got 3 hours down and two to go. Football's finest coming up, Chief.
Which playoff quarterback hates his play caller the most? I have the answer for you next year in the Nation.